Tonight's going to be a special night, so I'm glad you're here. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. It's going to be a special night. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's pray together again. Father, we look to you tonight. You're a good God. We acknowledge that, but we also realize that there's a lot of work to be done and that you've called every believer, every one of us here who profess Jesus as our Lord. You've called us to this task, to this work, to this commission that you've given us. And tonight, as we get into this material you've given us for the Life-Given Initiative, I thank you, Father, that every one of us is going to be better equipped. Every one of us are going to know more of what to do. We're going to have greater understanding. There's going to be insight rise up within us, things that will help us personally, things that will help us to minister to others. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Last week in our Life-Given Initiative, Nate shared. Many of you were here. And he talked about, I don't even know what the title was. No, what was the title? Boot camp. That's why I forgot it. Don't like those words. But anyway, he talked about boot camp and talked again about how we're soldiers in the army of the Lord and what's demanded of us. And he ended last week, the last 20 minutes or so got kind of serious. In fact, Nate cried. But we liked it because we like it when Nate cries. And so it proves that, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. It proves there is a heart in there. No, I'm teasing. Anyway, but he talked about one of the things that I've thought about every day this week, since he said that every day since then, and I've said it to many people, is that we should not waste the influence that God has given us, because God has given every one of us influence. He's given us a position of influence, a platform of influence. You know, I think one of the boys said on Sunday about we want to, you know, we think about ministry happening on a platform when in reality God's given us all a platform in our lives. It's a place of influence. And he talked about using that place of influence to bring people closer to God, closer to Christ, bringing them into fellowship with the Father and using our influence, leveraging it for the sake of the kingdom and not wasting it. And that's very convicting because there are a lot of things that if we think about them before we say them, we realize we're about to waste some influence. And we have to be watchful and pay attention to what's going on our inside, because sometimes we can say or do things that we don't even know is going to get right in the middle of being a hindrance in what we're doing. We can be working with somebody, and we can hinder it just by something just casual that we say or do, or a remark, or like he talked about last week, a post on a social media, something like that, and we can just mess up what the Lord's doing through us. And the enemy loves to take advantage of our, you know, weaknesses. He loves to, when at times where we're not aware of what we're doing, maybe, or weak moments, he likes to rush in there and take advantage of us. The Bible tells us that the enemy will take advantage of us. So we need to be, you know, watchful, because the Holy Spirit, he's in us warning us, saying, hey, don't be stupid. You've been working on this. Don't, you know, you don't have to say that. And, you know, I was a person that took me a long time in life that it took me many years to figure out that everything that came in my head didn't have to come out my mouth. Some of you don't think I've learned that yet, but you'd be amazed what I have learned. And so that's a really good word for all of us. That's not everything that comes in your head has to come out of your mouth. In fact, there's a whole lot of stuff that comes in your head that never needs to come out of your mouth. And sometimes we just need to keep ourselves silent and keep ourselves quiet. And it will go a long way towards helping people in the kingdom, helping people come to Christ. Well, tonight we're going to go in a little different direction, and we're going to talk about our equipment. You know, we're sort of using this theme of search and rescue. Not sort of, we are actually using this theme of search and rescue and being sent forth on a mission to seek and save the lost and to set captives, to liberate captives, set them free. And, you know, we've been equipped in many ways, but I believe the greatest equipment that we have is the Holy Spirit. The greatest equipping force in our lives, the greatest equipment. And we really can't limit the Holy Spirit to equipment, because he is the equipper. He is the equipper, and he brings with him the equipment that we need. But he, I'm telling you, he is our chief, you know, trainer. He is the one who's there alongside. He's our battle buddy. He's everything that we need. You know, if we started listing all the things he is, he's not just the one who's training us. He's the one who's there beside us in the trench. He is forever the helper. And that's who he is. But he's the greatest equipper and the greatest equipment that we have. So I'd like to, I'm going to read several scriptures here tonight and end up in a place I think that's going to help us. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it's right before the ascension of Jesus. And these are, if you have a Bible, you might turn there and mark these scriptures tonight, because these, marking these scriptures or else making note of them, even if you have to put it in the notes of your phone, this will help you when you're talking to somebody else, because you're going to have opportunities to share with others what I'm about to share with you. If you haven't already had that opportunity, you're going to have it. God's going to bring this opportunity across your path. And this is something that's really misunderstood, and people butcher it and make a mess of it, and people want to tell you what they think. But I really, really, really strongly encourage you to find out what the Bible says. So that's why I want to go through some scriptures tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he, speaking of Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is after his resurrection, but before he went, you know, ascended into the clouds. It says, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, he's referring in the promise of the Father to the promise that the Father made that Jesus told us about back over in the book of John, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do I know about that? Because he's about to tell us. Which he said, you have heard from me, for John, talking about John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I remember not long ago, a young man my sons were working with, they said, I don't know what you mean when you say baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why do you say those words? Why do you say, Jana, that might have been something for you. What does that even mean? Where did that come from? Well, here is where that term comes from. It comes from the words of Jesus in the book of Acts in chapter 1. Jesus used this terminology, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And as you've likely seen, if you've been around Good News Church for a while, the idea of baptism is to be immersed. And that's in the word, a picture of the word baptism is the picture of a ship that has been sunk at sea, that is filled from the inside and the outside and completely immersed under the sea in the water, you know, like a wrecked ship that's on the sea bottom. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's that idea that we are filled on the inside and on the outside and completely immersed. And he said, but you shall be baptized or completely immersed with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And he's dealing here with the tendency that we all have to get caught up in natural happenings. And you know what I put in this category? When he said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You know what I put in this category? Is us that get so fascinated with the rapture or the second coming. Because right now in the church, there's a lot of buzz, and you know, if you are like me, subscribe to a lot of Christian kind of online newsletters or magazines or things like that. You know, I'm subscribed to online version of Charisma magazine. I don't recommend it. Don't go and do that. It'll be a mistake. But I'm just telling you, the articles just are inundated with everything about end times and end time prophecy and all these kinds of things. And I'm just like, you know, here's one thing we know for sure. Jesus is coming because he said he would. And here's something else we know for sure. It's closer than it's ever been. That we know for sure. But you know what? Beyond that, there's not a whole lot more that we know for sure. But here is something else that we can know for sure. When he comes, I'm going with him. And anyone else who'll call upon the name of the Lord, they can go with him too. So these are the things I know for sure about the rapture, the catching away the church, and the second coming. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot. Now, you might really be into that eschatology, end time doctrine. You might can read the Bible codes. I don't know. And if you can, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. It's not where my interest is. My interest is in this, that this gospel shall be preached to every nation, to every ethne, to every people group, and then the end shall come. So I'm more interested in bringing about the end than I am in analyzing are we there or not. Because it is really just something, talk about just tickling your ears. It's just something that we can gather up knowledge about. So, and that's where they were. They're just looking in the natural. And he's saying to them, look, don't get your eyes on something in the natural. You're completely missing what's going on. And he said to them that it's not for them to know the times or the seasons, which the Father's put in his own authority. I don't know about you, but I'm trusting God that he knows about the times and the seasons. He has that well in hand. And he doesn't need me to tell him what to do about it. And it's arrogant for me to think I'm going to tell him anything. He's God. But then he goes on and redirects them, which I believe we all need redirecting on a regular basis. He said, but you, let's focus on something you have something to do with, where you have a say, where you have control, where you really can determine something. You shall receive power. When? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this power that comes upon you through the Holy Spirit is going to do something to you. It's going to change you. Just like Jesus, when he talked to Peter and said, if you follow me, there's going to be great change in you. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Well, this is what he's saying is when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, that you're going to get power. And this power is going to come upon you and it's going to enable you and empower you and make you a witness. A witness. Somebody who witnesses, someone who has some evidence, who can produce some evidence, someone who's seen something, who's heard something, who knows something. That's a witness, and his power is going to make us witnesses. We will be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, that's locally, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We're going to be witnesses. Now, this is a verse I think many of us are very familiar with, but let's not get sidetracked. This is the deal. This is the rest of the Great Commission. It's the other half of it. Now, in the Amplified, it reads this way, but you shall receive power. And that word power we know is dunamis. It's the great explosive power of God, resurrection power. But in the Amplified, it says you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. And see, all of us feel, you know, unqualified, and we feel like we have little to no ability to be a witness in ourselves. That's very common. That's what we all in ourselves feel. We feel inadequate. And that's why I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us, he makes us adequate. He makes us efficient. He makes us able, and he gives us his might and strength to be a witness. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? Praise God. Now, so that is a really critical point, and we're going to talk more about that in the next couple of weeks. Next week, we're going to talk about how to help people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is important because what I found is that people really need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, between Sunday here and Monday somewhere else, we had 6 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We were at somebody's house the other night, and we got 3 people baptized in the Holy Spirit over at their house. These are people who have been in church their whole life. Like, you know, church people, but never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many people are out there that are church people, and they've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit? So there's great opportunity to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they want it. I mean, these people were so hungry. They wanted it, but they didn't know anybody who knew how to help them receive. It's an interesting thing that you can learn how to help people receive. We're going to talk about that next week. But I want you to go over to Mark 16, which is the Great Commission in Mark's version. And he says to them, verse 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And as we always remind you, it's not that he's going to condemn them. They're already condemned. They just aren't going to escape the condemnation they're under unless they're saved. And these signs, say these signs. Now, people are looking for signs. And I tell you, one thing I have found is that people, certain people particularly, love signs. And there are people, there's a certain section of the Christian population, they want to seek after signs. And then, you know, it's real easy. If you want to seek signs, it's real easy to get what we would call flaky or squirrely. Have y'all ever seen any flaky or squirrely people? How many of you ever been flaky or squirrely? Okay, don't raise your hand. All right, I see that hand. Okay. But many people are. But I always like to see what signs, when we talk about signs and wonders, let's find out from the Bible what signs and wonders we should be looking for. What signs and wonders the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and through us. Because we can make up stuff all day long. I mean, all of us can come up with a new sign and a wonder, can't we? Some of you could come up with some outlandish stuff because that's just how you are. But we don't need that. What we need is what the Bible says. And he tells us what signs we should expect. These signs will follow those who believe, those who are believers. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. This is not talking about snake handling. It's talking about, because nowhere in the scripture after this do we see snake handling. But what we do see is when Paul was building a fire and a snake came out of the fire and Claps told of him it was a poisonous snake, that snake venom didn't hurt him. It didn't harm him in any way. And that was a sign and wonder to people. So we know from what the Bible, because the Bible interprets the Bible, we know from that he's not talking about snake handling. He's talking about divine protection. That's what he's saying. And in another place, when he sent them out, he said some things to them and told them to heal the sick, and which we will get to in a moment. But he said to them, nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's this constant theme of you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. I'm with you and I'm taking care of you. That's part of the sign, supernatural protection. Okay? So if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So laying hands on the sick and seeing sick people recover. That is a constant theme in the Gospels, in the book of Acts. It's in the ministry of Paul. We see it. And Jesus said that would be part of what we do. And so we know that. We know about laying hands on the sick and them recovering. We talk about that a lot. Casting out demons. The reality of that is we cast out the work that the devil's doing. A lot of times when you're laying hands on the sick, part of that is getting rid of the work the devil's doing. There is a place of casting out demons. I don't know that you do it all the time, because it's not like we have demons. You know, some people get really excited about demons and think they're everywhere, but they're actually not. You know, that they're that necklace. I won't even get into that. That's a whole other squirrely thing. Just be aware of squirreliness. But there's legitimate casting out demons. But I want to center in tonight on this little part where he says they will speak with new tongues. Isn't it interesting that Jesus put this in the explanation of the Great Commission? That every believer has authority over the devil. Every believer should speak in tongues. Every believer has supernatural protection. Every believer has the capacity and the ability to lay hands on the sick and bring recovery. This is for every believer. So Jesus said right here what the will of God was for every believer, is that every believer speak with tongues. And I don't understand when people want to fight for the right not to speak in tongues. Because if you were me, you would know just how ridiculous it is to not want to speak in tongues. Because it is it, man. It's a huge, huge help in your life. It'll get you through a 30-hour train ride when you're going delirious. It'll get you through, you know, when you don't know what to do, which is about every day. When you don't know what the people around you are going to do or did do or what tomorrow and just the craziness of life. We have the ability to speak in tongues. Romans says when you don't know how to pray as you ought. That's pretty much every time I pray. I know what the word says, and then I get through that, and man, I don't know how to pray as I ought. And so thank God that I can speak in new tongues. And not only that, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. So he said this, every believer would speak in new tongues. Then Acts chapter 2. Now I'm just going to rush right through some verses here in Acts. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this is the day. This is the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it filled the house where they were sitting, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So there was some kind of something that they saw that seemed to come upon them, a light or something, we don't really know. Something, there was a brightness that came with it. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Say, all filled. They were all filled, not just one or two or three or four, but all of them were filled. Why? Because it's God's will for all to be filled. It's His will that every believer would speak in tongues. And it's His will for all to be filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's all in the same sentence. And conjunction draws them together, and began to speak with other tongues. It doesn't say they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and some of them spoke with tongues. And then, see, this is a big point, because there are many people who believe that they can receive the Holy Spirit but not speak in tongues. First of all, why would you want to? Why would you want to be without speaking in tongues? Secondly, Jesus specifically didn't say in Mark 16, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said particularly, he focused in on that there's something about tongues that every believer needs in order to, you know, to take care of this great commission to fulfill it. We all need that. So there's something about it that's specific. He mentioned the tongues part. And then here, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled, the first thing that happened is they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. So they began to speak. It's not the only time they ever spoke with tongues. And that's another thing. Some people think you can only speak with tongues. It just, you know, my grandmother, Tall Granny, that we just heard about. Tall Granny, her belief was, she's, you know, Pentecostal through and through. Got the hair all wrapped up on her head, you know. No makeup. Never wore pants. My Tall Granny didn't wear jewelry. She was really committed. But Tall Granny, she believed you could only speak in tongues at just very rare occasions when the Holy Spirit came on you and really, really, there was just this moment, this like crescendo of some kind of supernatural power. And in that moment, then maybe you could speak in tongues. But you might go your whole life and only do it once. But we know from other places in the scripture that it is a regular ongoing occurrence, because Paul said that he spoke in tongues all the time. He said, pray without ceasing. The only way I know to pray without ceasing is to pray in other tongues. And he prayed, the Bible says, he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He was just always praying in tongues. And that's for every believer. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, just a couple more passages. Over in Acts chapter 10, it's the story of when Peter went down to Cornelius' house. Peter had a divine appearance. An angel came to him and told him to go down to Cornelius, who was a Gentile's house, and to go down and give them the gospel. And he did. And Acts chapter 10, the first part of Acts chapter 10 records what Peter said when he got there. But verse 44, something interesting happened. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, so he's given testimony of Jesus and his ministry, given him the gospel. It says, while he's still doing this, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. And then those of the circumcision who believed, so it's talking about the Jewish believers, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. This is the first case of those outside of the Abrahamic covenant being saved. And not only were they saved, the Holy Spirit came on them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then down here in verse 46, it says the way they knew the Holy Spirit was poured out on them was because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now see, these Gentile believers had become accustomed between Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit was given and Acts chapter 10 when Peter went down to Cornelius's house. During that interim time, they had become accustomed to that when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, something happened. And the way we know that these people have received the Holy Spirit is because they get the same benefits and they have the same manifestation that they initially had on the day of Pentecost, which was first, they spoke in tongues. And when here in Acts chapter 10, when Peter was there preaching, the Holy Spirit came on them, and all of a sudden these people begin to speak in other tongues, and the Jewish believers who are there are looking on them and they're going, my goodness, these people have the Holy Spirit like we do, and the way we know they do is because they're speaking in tongues. They're speaking in tongues. And that means when somebody's speaking in tongues, it means they have the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon someone and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues. All right. And then now let's go down to Acts 19. Something else happened. This is interesting. This is like 20 years after the day of Pentecost. So Acts chapter 19, verse 1, Paul, it's Paul now, Apostle Paul, and he's gone down to Ephesus. Apollos had been there ministering. He didn't even know how to get people saved, but he was just doing all he could. But then Paul came in and he shared with them how to be saved. It says, and it happened while Apollos had gone on to Corinth. While Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So you can receive the Holy Spirit when you believe in Jesus. It can happen right then. And so they said to them, I love this answer, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And some of you may have been like that at one point in your life. Maybe you were saved. Maybe you loved Jesus. Maybe you doing everything you could for the kingdom and, you know, really a committed believer. But you never even heard there was so much this thing. What is this? What are you talking about? We thought we had everything. It's no shame on you. The shame is on the people that came before you that they didn't know. Somebody somewhere lost a major piece of the puzzle, didn't they? But here he said to them, into what were you baptized? And so they said, into John's baptism. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. So these people weren't even saved. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hey, they were just wanting everything. And then it says, when Paul had laid hands on them, something happened. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And prophecy is the same thing as tongues, except it's in a language you understand. It's the same, comes from the same place. It's the Holy Spirit giving you words, except he gives you words in English. Or for me, it's English. It might be Spanish for Vanessa, but for me, it's English. For you, it might be, well, most of you, it's English. But he gives you words in a language you understand. And so when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. So y'all see this? So I just wanted to take you through Acts here and talk to you, because this is something that comes up commonly as we minister to people, as we talk to people, particularly as we talk to other believers. I've had people just went Monday night. The people we were dealing with told me they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so for a while I went along, and then I realized somewhere these people actually aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why aren't they baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because they didn't speak in tongues. And in the book of Acts, when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues. Now, some people have said, well, I want the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to speak in tongues. And again, I say to you, you do not know. You don't know what you're saying. And I don't have anything against you. I'm just being really honest with you. You are flat out missing out. It's not about being weird. Even though it is a little weird. I mean, I'll admit that. It's not about being, you know, far out. Even though it is a little far out. I'll admit that. I'm telling you, you're missing a major benefit. You're missing something that just brings so much power on the scene in your life. And I want to read to you a quote here as I close up from Kenneth E. Hagin. He's one of our spiritual mentors, and he said this. He said, and I really identify with this statement. I could say this. I just wrote down what he said, trying to give you a little more validity. But I second this emotion. He says, speaking with tongues is an initial supernatural sign or evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the beginning of it all. And even though I'm not going to say it because I don't teach that. But anyway, I have a real strong theory about that. He said this, I have found in my own life that the more I pray and worship God in tongues, the more manifestation of the other gifts of the Spirit that I have. What gifts? The word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of faith, gift of healing, word of knowledge, all the gifts of the Spirit. That this is, all of these gifts flow out from the initial gift of speaking in tongues. All the other gifts, they just totally ramp up in your life. And the way you get into those gifts is by speaking in tongues. He said, the more I speak in tongues, the more I pray and worship God in tongues, the more manifestation of other gifts of the Spirit I have. And if you desire the other gifts of the Spirit to be flow through your life, God desires that. He wants to use you and he wants to work through you. The best thing you can do is spend time praying in tongues. Learn about the gifts and spend time praying in tongues. That's the best you can do. And then he said this. He said, the less that I speak in tongues, the less manifestation I have. Speaking with tongues is the door into the rest of the spiritual gifts. And I have to tell you, what he says there is the truth. It's the truth. It's the doorway into the rest. I think I was talking about this in School for Life one Sunday morning, and I equated it, and I'll just use it here, even though it might offend some of you. They talk about marijuana. That one big objection to legalizing marijuana is because marijuana is a gateway drug. That marijuana, people start smoking marijuana, and then it opens the door for other kinds of drugs. People start experimenting with other drugs. They rarely start with something else. They usually start with marijuana and then move. Well, it's the same way with tongues. It's the gateway. It's the gateway gift. It's the gateway into the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you can really relate to this. And so that's why I'm using this analogy for you. Some of you really, you didn't know what I was talking about, and then I mentioned that, and you're right with me now. But it is, it's the gateway into it. It is the thing. And that's why I believe that Jesus said you'll speak with new tongues, because he knew if you would speak with tongues and you would do it frequently, you would do it all the time, that it would open up the doorway into other gifts in your life. And so all the gifts would begin to flow. Because when he's mentioning those signs that would follow us, all those signs will follow us, but the way into it is speaking in tongues. So that's necessary equipment for you and me. All of us, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. So right now we're gonna do a couple of things. First thing I want us to do is, I recognize, you know, it's Wednesday. I've got something going on with the mic tonight. I recognize it's Wednesday night, and most of you are probably baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you may not be, and that's okay. Don't get nervous or anything. Some of you may not speak with tongues. That's okay. Don't get nervous. But I just want to take a few minutes, and let's just pray in tongues together. It's just good to exercise that. I know some people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they don't really have a fluidity in it. It's not like a constant flow in their life. Maybe it's just kind of sometimes when people receive, they sort of just stammer kind of a little bit. That doesn't mean they didn't receive, because Isaiah said this with stammering and stuttering that some people receive. It's a prophecy that Isaiah had. So it might be that, but God wants you to have just a continuous flow, and sometimes it just helps when you're in an environment of people and they're all praying in tongues. And when we do this, this doesn't need to be interpreted, because we're all doing it to exercise this gift in our lives. So we're just going to do that for just a minute. Can we do that? Is that okay? And then I'll just shut us down. It's just going to be for a minute. I'll shut us down, and we'll break into groups. So, hallelujah. Obrevis el mundo, sobrevi Dioso. Lo badidi vimoso do la ma maniki di boso la vlema hashela bafa tikise. Lo brevin dios manderi fipo ko do do la ba badi se la ma maniki she. I brevi dios on doro se la vla ma mane hekiri vibo she la ba ba se. I bo doro so breviti os man bre giri apate la ma she. Eke dan desse botore mana mana vediba hashela vlo do gus perfiti os man dele vlo do goso. In baraviti asaba shela ba beberi vise boko dunderi vise ba mane shela ambri fite. Lo masala, we just stir that up. O mashela blathisi. Ibundo so breviti asamandidi se badaka diasma. Iba darosa le migele vlo do goso dondor brifiti asma. E maneni ni mongon doro vela mana mahase la bo dodoro she. Ibo do sola blevi mama mana hakateze babadi fele bo godo. O badeve indi asmanderi vipa she. E la mama ni hikiti oso. Iba dare de buffalo barabakise. Ibondele le vloto. E she obo otola amahase. Iki diele blemos nondoro fe prefeti kise ba shele patin dia ma seba dingele bodnoros u prefeti as menderi fi pambe ketere di boshi i prefeti as manderi habo flebo shelo bodgutu turis menderi bife se bodoro she prefeti asma. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. As we were doing that, I was just reminded I wanted to share this with you. Sunday before last, something interesting happening in the service. This is the Sunday when, Sunday before last, the Sunday about peace. Is it okay if I tell it? Cynthia? Okay. I can't see you. The light's in my eyes. Cynthia was back on the back row, and down the row from her was a couple sitting that are native Spanish speakers. And one of them, so they were listening to Cynthia. I guess Cynthia was doing what me and her do, praying with his ringtone. And the guy, he finally came over to her and said, "I didn't know you spoke Spanish." And she said, "What are you talking about? I don't speak Spanish." He goes, "You keep saying to me." He thought she was talking to him in Spanish, because she kept saying, "God is with you," and saying other things to him in Spanish. But she was praising God and praying in tongues. But just so happened she was speaking in Spanish, which I'm pretty sure she can't do. But she was, and it kind of freaked him out, because he's like, "Why is she talking to me?" But she was talking to God, but he was hearing it, but it was in his language that he understood, and it was a sign to him. And then he got baptized in the Holy Spirit this past Sunday. Did you know that, Cynthia? Yeah. Well, the Sunday before, he heard you, and he's been holding out for a long time. And this past Sunday, he's like, "I'm going to give that one up. I'm going to go for that. That was real. That was God." It was God. It was supernatural. And that's happened a really number of times in the church. I've had people tell me that several times, things like that have happened. But it just shows you it's real, people. It might be a little odd. I understand. Come on. It's a little bit odd, but it's real. It's real. Okay. Now we're going to break up into groups if we can. Let's just go ahead and do that. And then when you get in your groups, I'm going to tell you what our activity is. If you go ahead, just stand up. Everybody, let's stand up and find a group. Find one or two other people that you didn't come with tonight. Find one or two other people you didn't come with and get in a group together. Y'all go ahead and do that. A couple of people. Somebody you didn't come with. A couple of people. All right. Mix it up, man. Mix it up. When you get in a group, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Everybody got in a group? You need me to group you? I can group people if I need to. Jojo, you got a group, man? Are you in that group? All right, everybody got a group? All right, this is what we're going to do. Everybody get in a group. What we're going to do is this, what I want you to do. Grayson, you can go. I don't want to have to put you in a group, buddy. Okay, I want everybody in the group just to take a moment. I want you to share with the group what speaking in tongues has meant in your life, what benefits it's given you, what you've noticed that it's opened up for you, what good it's done for you. And then if there's somebody in your group who doesn't speak in tongues, just answer any questions they may have. Just share with them what it's meant to you. And if then they haven't had that experience, just answer any questions they may have or whatever. And then be sure and pray for each other before you leave. If somebody's here tonight and you haven't received, the people in your group, if you want to receive, tell them. They can help you. If they can't help you, there are those of us here who can. I'll be here. There'll be several of us. I'll be up here. I can find somebody and you can receive tonight. It's not a big deal, but it's a great deal. Amen. Praise God. All right, y'all go.